You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll look at a new report from the Economic Policy Institute about unions called How Today's Unions Help Working People. First, President Trump has looked beyond Washington to fill key positions in his cabinet and administration. One example is his choice of former presidential rival and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson to lead the Department of Housing and Urban Development, commonly known as HUD. Alec McGillis covers politics and government for ProPublica. His recent article, Is Anybody Home at HUD?, appeared in New York Magazine and is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Alec, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Before we get into what's been happening over the last handful of months, what does housing and urban development do?
Well, housing and urban development, HUD, is a department that was founded back in the mid-60s as part of LBJ's Great Society, the War on Poverty, taking on the urban crisis back when we were having the riots. And it has since shrunk somewhat. It's down to about half the size that it was at its peak, but it still does quite a lot. Of course, it oversees the actual public housing that we still have around the country. That housing stock has diminished in recent years, but we still have more than a million units of actual public housing. Then there's the Section 8 program, which is also called the Housing Choice Program, which provides vouchers to people to help them afford private rentals. And then it also subsidizes a lot of middle-class mortgages through Federal Housing Administration. And finally, it disperses a lot of money around the country in the form of community development block grants, which is money that goes out to cities and towns to kind of use as they see fit to help struggling neighborhoods.
A lot of eyes were on the Trump administration and what they do with an agency like HUD. And then Ben Carson becomes the nominee and then the secretary of the department. Talk about where he came from and why he was seen as an unlikely choice for HUD.
Well, he was an unlikely choice because he's a famous doctor, a pediatric neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins, and very esteemed in that area. But he has never worked in government, nor really in housing or social policy in any form. He was initially considered to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services or the Surgeon General, but he actually was kind of reluctant to do that. Those jobs, because I think he was aware of just how little he really knew about health policy. So for some reason, he was less reluctant to take on the job of running HUD. My sense is that he really thought he was qualified for that job, really kind of by virtue of having grown up in the inner city himself, having grown up in poverty or near poverty in Detroit, and that's simply his upbringing itself had given him insights into what it would take to run what is in some ways kind of our anti-poverty department.
HUD has seen ups and downs in funding over the years, a lot of downs leading into recent years, but you say that HUD faces now an existential crisis. Why?
Really on two different levels. For starters, they are now facing just massive budget cuts in the White House's proposed budget, a 15% budget cut that would really eviscerate the department, require Section 8 voucher holders to pay a lot more of their income toward their rent, cut the public housing capital fund that pays for renovations of public housing by 68%. I mean, just huge cuts, way beyond what they've seen before. But on another level, it's really in trouble now because the department is just totally adrift. Dr. Carson has not been providing, sort of a clear sense of direction, an agenda of where he wants to go. There are all sorts of top jobs at the department that are still empty, way more than is the norm for a new administration. There are a lot of good career people who have already left or who are very close to leaving because they are just so demoralized by the total drift and lack of direction. And so what you're seeing at HUD is really what can happen to a government department just through sheer kind of disregard and indifference and just kind of a withering away, withering on the vine. That's really what they're facing now, this department that millions of people still do rely on.
Alec McGillis is with us right now from ProPublica. He's written about housing and urban development, HUD, under the Trump administration and under the secretaryship of Dr. Ben Carson. You've talked, Alec, to a lot of people who work at HUD, who have worked at HUD. What are you hearing from them about the way things have gone in 2017?
Well, just that they are They're just immensely demoralized, and really kind of many of them just facing a real kind of personal dilemma, a crisis about whether to stay or go. On the one hand, they want to stay because they care a lot about the department and the people who are served by its programs. But on the other hand, they're just so depressed by the lack of direction. It's hard to tell whether it's willful or not, but a sort of a grinding of the wheels and the gears, where all these different initiatives are being kind of brought to a halt, and it's hard to tell whether it's just because there's no one upstairs to kind of to approve things and keep things moving forward, or if it's more of a more deliberate attempt to bring everything to a halt. But people are very worried about where things are going. And then, of course, you've got these budget cuts looming that Dr. Carson has not been very aggressive in pushing back at. There's just no real sense that anyone's standing up for the department in this moment where it's really coming under fire.
Are Republicans in Congress on board with cutting funding for HUD, or are there parts of it that Republicans are saying, hey, we're actually getting good benefits here?
Yes, you're absolutely right there. One of the interesting things is that you see Republicans, many Republicans, even some quite conservative ones, pushing back on some of these proposed cuts from the White House. The Community Development Block Grant program that I mentioned earlier is quite popular around the country because it really does allow local leaders to spend this money as they see fit within some parameters. And so that program really has quite a lot of bipartisan support. But even some of the more general housing programs, there are Republicans who recognize how important those programs are for some of the neediest and most vulnerable people in the country. It's not just the low-income folks who rely on these programs. It's a lot of seniors and disabled Americans as well. The cuts are coming from, if you had to sort of name one person, they're coming from Mick Mulvaney, who is President Trump's budget director. And Mick Mulvaney was a very, very, very conservative congressman from South Carolina, a real, real budget hawk, and he's now the guy in charge of putting out this budget. But the budget still does have to be approved by Congress. Congress does have the last say, and so my hunch is that the cuts in the end will not be as deep as the White House is proposing, but they'll still be pretty deep.
You watched Ben Carson at various meetings, events. Sometimes you got kicked out while trying to cover Ben Carson. What is he like as a leader in speaking to his staff and the public?
Well, he's very he's almost invisible, to be honest. He's been very nearly invisible within the department itself. I mean, he's famously soft-spoken and has not been very very present inside the headquarters. And then even when he's out and about, I was with him in Baltimore on one branch of his so-called listening tour, and it was very strange. He was here for 2 days in Baltimore, where I live, and the entire first day of his itinerary, where he had five or six meetings lined up, was completely secret. They had not announced that he was here for that first day. And even at, some of these things were events that might have made nice photo ops and gotten him some visibility and easy points, political points, but it was completely secret. So I did get a hold of the schedule, and I was kind of tagging along, and they were very much not happy about that, and they kept sort of rushing him out. His team kept rushing him out through back alleys to avoid me. The other thing that was very odd about the visit was that he was accompanied not just by his wife, who's been very present over the last few months, but also by his son, who runs an investment firm, and even his son's wife, his daughter-in-law. They were along for all these high-level meetings with housing officials and whatnot in Baltimore. And I observed at one point the son introducing some businessmen who were trying to pitch HUD on a venture of theirs, introducing them to his dad's top advisors. So it's definitely a very unusual setup now with him at the top of HUD.
What's at risk if HUD doesn't have leadership like it has had in the past, and if these budget cuts go through?
Well, what's at risk is that the department, there's just a very direct impact on the people who rely on these programs. So if you're a Section 8 voucher holder, you're going to have to pay more toward your rent, And if you're on a waiting list to get a Section 8 voucher, your odds of getting off that waiting list are going to get even worse. If you're in public housing, the state of that public housing is going to deteriorate even more, you know, boiler breakdowns and roof leaks. But beyond that, when you have a department that degrades in its sort of capacity and its morale, it performs less well. And the government, you know, starts to seem even more dysfunctional and incompetent, and it then feeds the whole narrative that the government can't do anything and then we might as well just cut it further or, you know, get rid of this or that program. It really just becomes a vicious cycle.
Alec, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Alec McGillis covers politics and government for ProPublica. His recent article, Is Anybody at Home at HUD?, appeared in New York Magazine. Coming up, we'll look at today's unions and the role they play in the modern economy. That's coming up on Central Time.